To my knowledge, this is the first time that I've been to this church. I may have been here when I was a little bitty. Or let me say a lot younger. You know, Brother Danny has stirred me up. Or maybe the Lord has. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For we preach not ourselves," in verse 5, "but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is what Brother Danny ended up on. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." You know, I'm amazed at how many people nowadays put so much focus on their stress. Y'all ever notice that? They put so much notice on or focus on their stress and the issues that they're dealing with every day. And they're just trying to, like Brother Danny said, they're in the middle of the ocean and they're just dog paddling, trying to keep their nose up above the water line. They're just trying to keep from drowning. It's pitiful, really. I work in schools, and you know, about 10 years ago, maybe 12, I started to see a trend happening with teachers. Now, might not be happening here, but I started hearing more and more teachers start to be vocal about being put on Zoloft or some other kind of medicine that was a mood elevator because they were so stressed out. And then you talk to other people that have stuff in their lives, and they turn to drugs, alcohol, any other kind of thing to escape reality. And then whenever that effect wears off, then they start to do it more often. And it affects them horribly in their lives. And they get conditioned to that stuff. And they have to do it more and more and more. And yet, the more and more they do it, the less and less they're satisfied. Y'all see that downward spiral? Y'all see how trying to escape reality is something that started in the garden, Brother Danny. They tried to hide. And we all try to hide, don't we? soon as I got to Brother Silas's house today, I saw a plaque on his wall that says, "I saw that, God," under the bottom. I think I read it right. Is that right? I didn't get real close to it. You know, we think we can hide from God, but we can't. Adam and Eve tried to do it, and the covering that they made themselves was insufficient, wasn't it? I mean, a fig leaf. Who in their right mind would have tried to... I mean, they didn't have anything else to use. I guess they just did the best they could. But you see how the best that they could do was not sufficient for them.
Amen.
It was not sufficient. God provided them with something sufficient, didn't He? So what I'm really wanting to talk to you about is, where do people go to keep from getting in despair? I'm talking about God's people. I don't know where the wicked go. I don't guess they're really in much despair right now, are they? But there's a lot of people in despair that are God's people, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where do they go? I mean, all these teachers and all these people that I see trying to escape the reality of their lives, and then they have to do more and more and they get less and less escape. Where do they go? Why aren't they? They're godly people. Why aren't they understanding what they... why are they in such a predicament? Why does that bother? Well, why are they bothered by those things? My mother's house, the one that I did most of my teenage years growing up in down in Mississippi, after I was married and the kids were young and I was already gone, she was living alone. Tornado came and ripped her roof off. She was in the bathroom, huddled underneath something. She thought, "Why, something's wrong with that shower, because it's raining on my head." And it took me 4 hours to go about 2 miles after I got from Tennessee down there to where she was. And it looked like somebody had taken a bomb and dropped it. It was like an F4 tornado. And she survived. And when I got there, my sister and brother were already there. And both and all of them, my sister was just uncomposed. That's a nice way to put it. I mean, just distraught beyond any reeling back, really. What are we going to do? And I walked up. It's just a house. It's just a house. We're going to clean it up. We're going to find a place to stay. And we're going to take care of each other. That's what we're going to do. All the other stuff's incident. You see, when something in your life grabs you and turns you about 40 different ways and you don't know which way is up, I can tell you the thing that will stabilize you is God. Yeah. It's Jesus Christ. But I want to get more specific than that about what can help you. I want to read something. Well, I want to say something first before I read. How many of y'all have ever been in debt? I mean, I still am. I've been in debt. You see a lot of these commercials on TV that talk about debt. And it talks about debt relief and everything else. And it seems to be a big issue with people nowadays, doesn't it? I mean, because so many of the prosperity doctrine preachers have gone out there and said God will pay for it if you do it. Well, that ain't true. It's not true. I'm not supposed to say ain't. I found out. Today, actually. It's not true. But you know what a debt is, don't you? It's something that you owe. And I got to tell you, when I mean, some of our biggest debt is the most important thing in our lives, isn't it? Yeah. It's our house, right? It's where we live. And I can tell you, I mean, I really can't, because I've only experienced it once. A little house Sonia and I bought, we paid on that thing. And when all of the debt was paid, we got a title, right? And that title was free and clear. That meant there was no other liens against it. There was no other debt necessary to be paid. And do you know what a relief that was to us? That freed us up to do more. You know, the biggest expense that most people have in their whole life is their house payment. Y'all agree with that? I mean, it's true for me. And when that thing went away, do you know how much freedom that gave me as she and I, as far as our family and the things that we were able to save for, enjoy? Do y'all know how free it was to get out from under that kind of bondage? Well, I want to read something. It's number 351. Y'all listen to this. I'm going to tell you, last Sunday night is the first time that I ever have realized this, and I've been singing this song all my life. I didn't really understand what it was talking about. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Should earth against my soul engage and fiery darts be hurled, then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world. There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. Do y'all understand what that song is talking about? I'm gonna hit it now. Do you know that what people are searching for? I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about people that love the Lord, that sing praises to Him on Sunday morning in all manner of churches all over the world. And Monday comes and they're struggling in their lives because they've got so many things happening and they don't really know where to turn. They don't know what to do. And I tell you that part of what they're having a hard time with is that they are still trying to pay a debt off that they have already had paid for them. And because they're struggling with that, they're struggling with everything else. And I tell you, if I thought that my title to mansions in the skies was not clear and free, I'd struggle with my life too.
Yeah.
I'd struggle with not only that, I'd struggle with, that would be the foundational principle that if that wasn't clear, then nothing else in my life is going to be clear.
Amen.
If I could see that the Lord of glory had paid my debt, then that would free me up to see that yes, things might get bad here, but I've got a foundation to stand upon. The things in my life might be shaken, but when God shakes them, He said, I can't get that quote exactly right. He said that the things that are shaken may be shaken off, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. And I tell you what, if you have some problems in your life, and you can see that the Lord Jesus Christ has reserved in heaven for you a home in glory, and that He paid the price, the reservation is made, your spot is secure, and you're going to be there. These things of this world are kind of trifling, aren't they? It puts things into perspective, doesn't it? But I tell you, but if you can't read your title clear, if you look up to heaven and say, it's Jesus and me that have to make my title clear, then you'll never be free of any debt.
Yeah.
In your mind, you'll never be free of any debt. And you know what keeps people in bondage most of the time? Is their mind. Isn't it? That's what keeps me in bondage. Y'all think about that for a minute. If my mind could be set free, if I could read my title, if somebody would hand me a paper and said, Brother Paul, your house note and every debt that you owe is paid. And here is the title. You've got it. This is your possession. It's yours. You know, that'd make me pretty happy. That would free me up, wouldn't it? Financially, that would free me up. How much would it free people up if they knew, spiritually, if they knew that their home in heaven, that they had a title to it, that means that it's theirs. It's theirs. How freed up would they be if they just realized that you're a son of God, and if you're a son of God, then you're an heir of God, and if you're an heir of God, you're a joint heir with Christ. What is Christ inheriting? What is He inheriting? What is the inheritance of Jesus Christ? What is that? Well, I don't know what all it is, but I know that it's a good inheritance. Right? And y'all know what a joint heir is. Now, I know something about this. Because my daddy was one of 11. She actually had 13 children, but 11 of them lived to be old. And that 160-acre farm that my grandpa Blair had wasn't very, I mean, it was big for farming back then. And my daddy, and when it came time and my grandfather was about to pass away, then they split up. And my father had already passed away when my grandfather did. All that 160 acres was split up 11 ways. But our part was of that 11, that 1/11 of that 160 acres was split again in four different ways. And so what would that be? About 2-3 acres or something out of the 160 that was I could call mine. What kind of heir is that? That's a co-heir. That's being a co-heir. That means you have a part and lot in that matter, but all of it's not yours. Y'all know what a joint heir means? That means that whatever you have access to every bit of it, just like all the other heirs. So I don't know how many of the 11 that it was split up in. It was a bunch of them. But every one of them had a right to the whole 160 acres. That's what would be a joint heir. Do y'all know what Christ inherited? I mean, He's in glory, sitting on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high tonight. And whatever Christ has, you have. Gonna have. And do you know what the blessing of it is? The blessing of it is, when you know that, that's why you can be cast down and not destroyed. Yeah. That's why you can be persecuted but not forsaken. Perplexed but not in despair, you see. There's a lot of perplexing things in this life, isn't it? But it keeps you from being despaired about it, right? When you know that even though all of this stuff is going to fade away, I've got a title to a home in glory, and it was paid for me on my behalf with money and currency that I did not have. Do y'all know that? You had no currency to pay that debt. That currency had to be paid with precious blood, and you don't have it. But it was shed for you on your behalf. Jesus Christ. He did that. You know, God did. This ought to let us know how much God loves us. He did something for you that He would not do for His Son. Y'all know that? Do y'all know that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, right? Well, that'll get you through a dark night.
Yeah.
It'll get you through trying times. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know what? When Jesus was on the cross, what did He cry? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't think Jesus was lying about it. I think Jesus knew what He was talking about. I mean, God really did forsake His Son. Do y'all get that? I mean, He really did forsake His Son. Jesus said He did. And I can't imagine. Out of all the sins, of all the time, from Adam to the last one of His children, He paid on that cross. Not just all of the sins of the people in this room, Not just all the sins of the people that are alive today at this moment. That's a lot of people, isn't it? That's a lot of sins. God didn't look on that. He turned His face. And He forsook His own Son. Do you know why He did that? Because He would not forsake you. Well, I tell you what, that'll get you. That'll give you some encouragement. Come on. You know what will give you some more encouragement? When Jesus rose again from the grave, right? And they saw Him risen. They saw Jesus risen. And it scared them now. And it might scare you too. But when they saw Jesus actually risen from the dead, that made a lot of difference. But you know what? Even after Peter and all them saw Him risen, what did they say? Well, I go fishing. That was after they saw Jesus risen from the dead. So what made the difference? Oh, the mighty rushing wind came, Brother Dan.
Yeah.
And it let them see some stuff they hadn't seen before. Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter to you, and He's going to teach you all things, and He's going to take these things of mine and show them unto you. You know, if the Spirit helps us to see, and we get ourselves out of the way, and we follow the leadership of the Spirit. Because look, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God, right? I know that. That's what Spirit does, a lot of things. And if He does that, you start thinking a little bit, well, if I'm a child of God, then I must be an heir of God. And if they're Bible readers, they know what that means. Then they start to think. They start to get some more comfort. Then they start to think, well, I got a home in heaven, and if I'm a child of God, I got it by some other reason other than me. And if they can see that their home in glory has no liens against it. That title has no liens against it. Nothing else left to pay. Boy, that'll give them some assurance. You know what? One of the most important things it gives you is peace. It gives you peace. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear. Y'all get that? Y'all have been afraid? Seeing that gives you courage to face your day. It gives you courage to face your troubles. And it wipes away your tears. When I start thinking about what the Lord did for me and where I'm going, it kind of makes me happy. And then it said, the next verse it says, should earth against my soul engage? Earth, the people say, how's the world treating you, Brother Paul? Well, I'm telling you, the world treats me pretty bad.
Yeah.
But the Lord's always good to me.
Amen.
I said this the other night. I used to work with a lady. I've been thinking about her a lot lately. Her name was Jean Hendricks. She's probably long gone by now. And I worked in a therapy office, and my boss was pretty rough on all of us. I'm pretty easygoing fella. And he's about that high. Y'all can imagine. And like to throw his authority around, living after the worldly kingdom's principles. And he was wearing us out that day. And Jean sat across from us. She wrote on the post-it note. She turned it around and stuck it over there to where I could see it. And she said, and the note said, "If you're not having a head-on collision every day with Satan, then you're probably headed in the same direction." So if the world's treating you real good, you might want to do a spiritual self-check. Y'all, that hits me right between the eyes. It does. I have to do one daily. And if I'm doing that, then I'm looking at folks with a smile. I'm happy to be there, even though things are tough. It's going to be all right in the morning. I used to work with a lady. I used to preach to her, and she preached to me at work. Now, I'm telling you some good days, because we've shouted at work before because of the Lord. And I'd say, "Lois, I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to get through this," or whatever it was, especially when Hannah was sick and all that. And she looked up at me in her simple country way, and she said, "Oh, Brother Paul, you know God's always got a ram in the bush. You know, I've got more comfort out of that simple thing." And I've used it a lot, but it is true. God's on His throne, folks.
Yep.
He's not lent it out to nobody else. And there's a man sitting right next to Him. The man, Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to get you to see tonight is that if you encounter somebody that's hurt, somebody that's struggled, you might not can fix their worldly problems, but you can give them the equipment that they need to deal with it and have peace on the inside by showing them that their title is clear, free and clear. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.